Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Y'all, thank y'all. A lot of y'all know John and Aspen. They've helped with youth group. They've helped with college ministry. They've helped with music ministry. And John goes all the way back to when we used to do beach club way back in the day with kids across the street at Majan. So thank y'all. Andy Coward is doing Walk to Emmaus, and he, all his guitars left Texas. I don't know where they went. And so we got to ask John and Aspen to come. I think this was Thursday we were working all this out. So thank y'all for your willingness to lead us. And I know Jesus is going to be in all that we do this morning. Thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all if you're watching online for being here. Jesus, most of all, thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord. We are just a couple of announcements. One of the things I saw scrolling through there that you need to definitely put is the humongous pool party. It is at, thanks to Jency, it's over at Tech this year at the Lazy River. So, oh, there it is, pool party right there. Doesn't that sound fun? I can't wait. Now, this is an all play, okay? This is like, I think we can get 300 people there, so, or something like that. So y'all, this is everybody. Y'all come. That's not it. The two announcements I'm supposed to do is basketball camp this week. That's Monday through Wednesday out at Southwest. And then apologetics on Thursday night. This is just, you know, we've been doing this series helping you, get a right kind of understanding and thinking about some of the faith things and then being able to talk to others about that. So that's what this one is about, thinking clearly. All right, Thursday night out at Southwest. Okay, so I don't know if any of y'all have gone to see Hamilton. I know some of you have, but Janie and I got to go on Thursday night. Our kids, for our 40th wedding anniversary, gave us these tickets, and they were way up, like, in the fourth balcony, whatever that is up there. And so, it was so awesome. I mean, we couldn't see all the faces. We had a binoculars to really see their faces, but we could see the choreography, and it was awesome. We could hear. It was beautiful. So, by the way, I don't know if you done the math, but I think there are like 15 different performances of Hamilton, and at least 2,000 people at each of those performances. Y'all do the math. That's 30,000 people in Lubbock, Texas are going to see a Broadway musical, Hamilton. Anyway, I love it. If you know it, you've seen it, you know what it's about. It's about Alexander Hamilton, of course. But for us, at least for me, my favorite song is towards the end of the musical. It's called Unimaginable. Y'all know this song? Unimaginable is a song about this deep loss and deep hurt and deep grief that Alexander and Eliza are going through. They lost their son. There's been huge, just tragedy in their own relationship because of Alexander's stupidity, you might say. Anyway, but in that song, what happens is forgiveness comes, and she forgives the unforgivable, and it's just a beautiful story, beautiful song. That kind of stuff, that's unimaginable from our side, but that's who God is. He is a God who has imagined from the beginning of time, you and me, going our own way, doing our own thing, you and me, you know, choosing basically to abandon him, and yet he imagined for us to be in relationship with him. The unimaginable, for God to forgive the unforgivable in you and in me, in us. So anyway, Lord, we just ask today that your unimaginable presence, your beautiful presence, your powerful presence, your transforming presence would be in this house. And that, Lord, even though we can't imagine it from our finite side, God, you would just do it. You would do what needs to be done in each of our lives, in each of our families, in all of our relationships. Jesus, we come here today not to fill up a pew. We come here today for you to fill us up with you. Come, Lord Jesus, be at work in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word become alive to us. And Jesus, this morning, may we just claim our identity that we, the lost, that you have come to seek and to save us. And Lord, also, just stir in us, move in us, that just as you now live in us and you came to seek and save the lost, now we too are those who are called to seek and save the lost as well. Lord, you teach us, you lead us for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. Okay, so we're talking, this is this how-to series this morning, how to share Jesus with others. So let's just start and say that sharing Jesus is more than billboards. Do y'all remember these billboards? Okay, y'all remember, let's meet at my house Sunday before the game, signed God. Y'all remember that one? Okay, next one, we need to talk, signed God, right? Next one. You did ask for a sign, God. And then this one, especially for us right now in Texas, right in the rest of, you think it's hot here, sign, God. Anyway, I don't know. These God Speak billboards began in 1998 when an anonymous donor contacted an advertising agency down in Florida with this idea for a local billboard campaign that would get people thinking about God. Before it was all said and done, over 10,000 billboards would eventually be put up all over America with simple, easy-to-read messages in white type against a blackboard. And, of course, all the quotes, you know, signed by God. All right. Okay, but sharing Jesus is not just more than billboards. Sharing Jesus is more than ad campaigns. Y'all been seeing the He Gets Us commercials? In the Super Bowl, there were at least two, and that's big money, right? He Gets Us is a current ad campaign that began in 2022. Over $100 million has been invested in this campaign. According to their website, He Gets Us is a movement to reintroduce people to the Jesus of the Bible in His confounding love and forgiveness. We believe His words, example, and life have relevance in our life today and offer hope for a better future. Have y'all seen these? Please, $100 million. I'm going to ask this question again, literally. If you've seen one of these commercials, raise your hands. Okay, good. But sharing Jesus is not just billboards. It's not just ad campaigns. Sharing Jesus is also far, far more than artificial intelligence. More than ChatGPT. Y'all know ChatGPT? I did this in the early service. I got blanks. Help me. Kids, ChatGPT, they've all got their hands up there. Okay, all right. We had the one grandson here this morning. He said, yeah, I do my papers with it. Anyway, okay, no. Okay, all right. In case, we'll talk about this. Andrea Piccadillo recently wrote an article about artificial intelligence, specifically about ChatGPT and how it understands following Jesus. So Andrea asked ChatGPT, so what does it mean to follow Jesus in today's society? Okay, so here's the answer. To follow Jesus in today's society means to make a commitment to live according to His teachings and example. It involves putting Jesus at the center of one's life and making the decision to obey and serve Him. Following Jesus requires a change in mindset and lifestyle. It requires humility, repentance, and a willingness to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. A follower of Jesus will strive to imitate Jesus' character and conduct by loving God and loving others as oneself, by living a life of integrity, honesty, and compassion, by showing kindness and forgiveness to those who have wronged them, and being a peacemaker and promoting justice and righteousness. Who needs me? That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? I think it's a great answer. Sam Hales, who's the editor of Premier Christianity, the leading Christian magazine in Britain, did a similar article on ChatGPT. He said, hello, ChatGPT, can you explain what you are? It's almost like you want to say, can you explain who you are? Here's the answer. I'm an AI, artificial intelligence language model, developed by OpenAI. I was trained on a large corpus of text data to generate human-like responses to questions and prompts. My purpose is to assist with information retrieval and conversation. So Sam started his conversation with ChatGPT with a moderately difficult question. He said the answer came back in a snap, in seconds. The question, Can you give us 10 ways to grow in our spiritual walk with God? Seconds. Look. What do you think? That's a pretty good list, isn't it? But can ChatGPT lead someone to Christ? So Sam asked, what must I do to be saved? To be saved, ChatGPT says, one, recognize that you are a sinner in need of salvation. Two, believe in Jesus as the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the dead. Three, repent of your sins and turn away from them. Four, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Five, be baptized to publicly declare your faith. Six, live a life obedient to God's will, growing in your relationship with Him. Again, pretty good answers. Maybe we might, you know, quibble with some of the details, but overall, y'all, that's a phenomenal response in a matter of seconds to maybe the most important question any of us could even ask or answer. How can I be saved? Sam's final question to ChatGPT was this. He said, I've been asked to share a 2-minute devotional on John 1:1. Y'all know John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've been asked to share a 2-minute devotional on John 1:1 at my church small group this week. Can you write a script for me? Please include an analogy. This is from England. An analogy based around the Yorkshire Cricket Club. ChatGPT came up. It's a wonderful devotional. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but a wonderful devotional based on John 1 and ChatGPT, right? The chat box, the computer, the AI, whatever you want to call it. Chat ended the devotional with these words. Let's pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal more of the truth of this verse to our hearts. Sam concluded, ChatGPT even prayed. I didn't even ask it to pray. It's official, Sam said. This chatbot, you know, this chatbot is more spiritual than I am. Maybe so. Here's why I'm sharing about billboards and ad campaigns and artificial intelligence. I'm sharing this with you because no matter what the available technology, no matter where we live, no matter where we are now in human history, the key, essential, foundational factor to sharing Jesus with the world is you. Acts 1:8, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' plan to save the world. Jesus' plan to transform and change the world. Jesus' plan to reach the lost is you. Where you are, your situation, your school, your family, your place of work. There is no plan B. You are the plan to reach this world for Jesus. So this morning, there are 5 simple and important actions that we must all take to share Jesus with others. First, you must know Him. And not just know about Jesus, but truly know of Jesus. I mean, I could write a great book about Janie Hurst. You know, chapter 1, her growing up years. Chapter 2, her dating years. Quite a long chapter, by the way. Chapter 3, her athleticism, another long chapter. Chapter 4, her culinary skills, even longer chapter. Chapter 5, her sense of humor, long. Chapter 6, her friendliness. Chapter 7, her relationship with me. Chapter 8, her relationship with Jesus. It would be a great book. Yes, I could write a book and tell you everything I know about Janie. And you could read that book and you would come to know some really important facts about her. But my friends, reading a book or hearing a talk about Janie does not in the least equate with actually knowing her, right? That's different. Not about her, but knowing her. Y'all, you're here this morning, you're reading your Bible about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. But do you know Jesus? If you're going to authentically and effectively share Jesus with others, you have to know by experience that Jesus is God in the flesh who came to seek and save the lost, who came to seek and save you. You have to know that you know that He is the God, the Holy Spirit, who is now living inside of you. You have to know and experience His presence in your life so that His values are becoming your values. So that the things that matter to Him are now mattering to you. If lost people matter to Jesus, and Jesus is now living in and reigning in your life, then guess what? Lost people are mattering to you too. When lost people don't matter, your family members, your neighbors, your work associates, your friends who don't know Jesus, when they don't matter to you, when their spiritual condition doesn't matter to you, does Jesus matter to you? The God who came to seek and to save the lost, does He matter to you? Is He really living and reigning in here? To share Jesus, you must know Jesus, okay? The second simple and important action, Janie, your picture was up way too long, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm in trouble, no lunch for me. Okay, all right, the second simple and important action that you must take to share Jesus with others is that you must learn. You have to take the time to really think about and pray about and begin to learn about talking about what Jesus has done for you. With our leaders here at St. Luke's, we teach them to share their spiritual journeys, you know, to talk about life before Jesus, how they came to know Jesus, and what's happened since then. We all can think about specific problems, specific stories of how Jesus has worked and is working in our lives, how He has made a difference in our lives. We can think about how He's brought restoration and healing and forgiveness and deliverance and peace and transformation in our lives. Everyone has a story to tell, and everyone's story is needed. I guarantee you, if you're here every Sunday, you're tired of hearing my stories. We need to hear each other's stories. Stories about how Jesus is helping you deal with your grief. Stories of how He helped you overcome an addiction. Stories of how He taught you how to get your financial world in order. Stories of how He gave you the power to forgive the unforgivable. Stories of how He washed away all your sin and selfishness and set you free. Are you willing to learn to think about, talk about something, anything that Jesus has done in your life? Even this week. Every Saturday on the wake-up call, if you're listening or reading the wake-up call, J.D. shares a Holy Spirit story, what he calls a Holy Spirit story, from one of the daily readers. Yesterday, it was a story about how God had tangibly provided for the material needs of a family. Last week, it was a story about how God brought a Vietnam veteran to meet this lady at a church who ended up helping him receive healing and forgiveness in his life. 2 weeks ago, it was a beautiful and powerful story of how God allowed the gift of adoption to be experienced for a needy child and a loving mother. See, here's the prayer. God, help us to see and to share what You're doing in our lives. Help us to see and to share what You are doing in our lives. Y'all, that's all a witness is. A witness is someone who sees and shares. A witness, you know, by the way, Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses, right? All a witness does is see and share. They're not theological experts, right? They're not seminary graduates. They're not preachers. They're just witnesses who share with others what God is doing in their lives. The third simple, important action that you must take to share Jesus with others is that you must engage. You must get out of your comfort zone and really get to know someone else, to really care about someone else, to really care for someone else, to really get to know them in such a way that they matter to you, because by golly, have no doubt, they most assuredly matter to God. Think about Jesus, right? Think about Jesus hanging out with the woman at the well. Think about Jesus hanging out with Nicodemus in the middle of the night. Think about Jesus just hanging out, being with, living with, doing life with His disciples day after day. Think about Jesus meeting that rich young ruler for the first time. Think about Jesus having supper, having a party with the tax collectors and sinners. For Jesus and for us, every encounter is a divine encounter. Every encounter is a divine encounter. When I was a freshman at McMurray, I was walking across the campus one day when I ran into a guy named Jeff Walters. Now, Jeff Walters in those days was the lead singer for a Christian band called Gabriel. They probably sang here at St. Luke's way back in the day. And as I met Jeff, he was hanging out with a person that day who had mental and physical disabilities. And for about 10 minutes, Jeff and I talked about, you know, where I was and wasn't growing in my life. I'm a freshman in college. He told me about a guy named Steve Moore who had been the associate pastor at St. Luke's, but God had sent Steve to the Texas Tech Wesley Foundation. He told me about Steve's background in youth ministry and his desire to raise up a new generation of Christian leaders. And before I went to bed that night, I knew that I was supposed to come to Texas Tech and get involved in the Wesley Foundation. That one conversation with Jeff literally changed the trajectory of my life. The truth is, God wants to use every single one of us to have those kinds of conversations with others. God wants to use every single one of us to make a difference in someone else's life. But y'all, if there is no engagement, there will be no transformation. Engagement is a prerequisite for transformation. The fourth simple and important action that you must take to share Jesus with others is that you must pray for them. If they don't make it to your prayer time, then you're really not ready for them to make it to your share time. In fact, if they don't make it to your prayer time, my hunch is there'll be no share time. Here is why we pray. We pray because in and of ourselves, we have absolutely zero power to save anyone. Zero. John 6:44, no one can come to me, Jesus says, unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up that last day. We pray. We ask the Father because it is Him and Him alone that has the power to draw people to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We pray because we need Satan to go. We need Satan to be gone, his influence to be history in the people that we're praying for. We pray because we need eyes and hearts to be opened. We pray because we need life and life abundantly to be given and received. And all of that, y'all, all of that only comes through prayer. Here's a prayer for lost family and friends. Lord Jesus, make them ready. Lord Jesus, make them receptive. Make them open to your saving and transforming grace. Lord Jesus, cast Satan away from them. Lord Jesus, open their eyes and open their hearts to your Holy Spirit present and working in their lives. Okay, fifth example. Fifth simple, important action that you must take to share Jesus with others is that you must, R-I-S-K, you must risk. You must take the risk, sow the seed, and trust God to do what only He can do. Pray, prepare, pursue, and follow the prompting of God, the prompting of His Spirit. And y'all, good gospel conversations. Patty, what was the name of the song? I did it wrong. You got to have a big conversation with me. It wasn't Unimaginable. It was what? It's Quiet Uptown. This is, so when you go to see, you know, it was just, the whole story's great. Hamilton's a great story. But that song, I'm having a conversation, right, with y'all. That song just really hit me. I mean, it just made me think about all the times of my own life I've been through hurt and struggle, and it really made me think about all the other folks that I know right now who are struggling. And I just, you know, I know that people, me included, without God, I don't know how you get through that stuff. So I've gone from a good conversation to a conversation about God. And you know, the thing that had to happen in the musical was that Eliza had to move back, you know, towards Alexander. And Eliza literally, physically had to reach out and take his hand. And y'all, when it comes to God, we just got to let him move toward us. And we got to let our hands get in his hand and let him hold us. Y'all, that was a good conversation turned into a God conversation, becoming a gospel conversation. My hunch is today, this week, you're going to have that opportunity if you'll let the Lord lead you, teach you. And so this morning, may all of this not just be stuff, okay, yeah, we had some good ideas. Lord, I just pray right now, right here, that all of this talk about sharing you with others, that it begins to have not just a head, but feet and hands. So we begin to not just talk or have ideas. We begin to move in this pattern of sharing you with others, of loving others the way that you have loved us. This morning as we close in worship, y'all, the altars are open. If you need to get real specific and give yourself to Jesus in this area, altars are open. You can do it from your pew too. But gosh, guys, if we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, guess where we'll be? Nowhere. The church will grow more and more impotent in this world in which we live. Jesus will become more and more irrelevant instead of relevant and transforming that he desires to be. You're the plan. So say yes to him, that you will be willing to share Jesus with us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. None like you, Lord. No one will ever love us like you. And Lord, we've had some great loves, some beautiful loves. But all those loves dim in comparison, just scratch the itch of the deepest ache of our soul. You, O Lord, you are our Savior. Lord, as we receive that love, let us be that love to this world. Let us not hoard your good news, your good grace, your good presence to ourselves, but let us share you with others. In your name, Jesus, we pray and we go. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.